Well, good afternoon. It's good to see everybody. Is everybody excited about what the Lord's doing in you and through you? It's my prayer today to be a zero. And that way I'll be a hero. I try not to, I learn the hard way, Mark. I learn the hard way, and we all do. You know, we get there and we've got our ideas, we've got our plans. But God says in Jeremiah 29, I think it's 11, "For I know the plans I have for you." You know, and those plans are to prosper us. They're to help us, not to harm us. They give us hope and they give us the future. Yes. And see, we're looking at our sufficiency comes from God. And if we don't get in the way, that fired me up this morning. And I said, my goodness, because you know, sometimes I think in our church, I get a little too excited sometimes. But you know what? We need to be excited about the Lord. We need to be excited about the place that He has placed us at such a time as this. You know, when people like in this room right here, you have a calling upon your life. And you realize that it's a very important calling. And I feel that we're entering into a new season where those are called out. God is going to give power and authority. And He's going to let us know to get out of the way and watch Him do exploits in our lives. He's going to do it. And He follows up the word with signs and wonders. You know, think about the chapter of Mark. Mark, it says, they shall pray for the sick and they shall recover. You know, and we're not seeing a lot of that going on. Occasionally I'll see it. We had one fellow that was leaking from his brain and he wasn't going to live very long. And he got prayed for and he went back to the brain surgeon. The brain surgeon said, "Well, you do know this is really risky, but I have no choice but to operate on you." And he ran one more scan on that head of his, and he said, "It's not leaking anymore. God had untouched him. God had done healed him." You know, and if we would get out of the way and listen to God and follow, I believe Jesus every day, and we're going to pray and all that in a minute, but this is different. I'm different. Okay, I'm like a loose cannon. And the reason I'm that way, God made me that way. And when God gets to speaking, if I get to speaking real fast and all, just hang on. You know, last night we watched it. Last night it was like an ocean tide coming in. And that tide, you know, in the ocean, it swells up, swells up, swells up, and then it crests. In the service last night, we had two crests that happened. First crest, it was people, she was praying for them, for their sickness and illnesses, and God just put, she said, "Come on, right now." She knew it was time. Right now, the Spirit said, "It's time. It's time." You know, a lot of times in our ministry and a lot of times in our Christian walk, we wait and wait and wait. And too many times we're like microwave ovens. We like our microwave ovens to pop it in there and get something instant. But God doesn't always do things instant. He's building us. He is putting them block by block by block to build us. And what we need to do is to listen to Him and observe and know when He starts moving, because here's the way He does in my life. He gives me little tidbits, and I'm faithful. And, you know, and I've often said about our church, I've often said, "God, oh me, I came in here and we had 30 to 35, and now we still got 30 to 35. Now it's different faces. And they're younger now than what Nancy saw when she saw years ago. And the Lord said, do this. The Lord said, thank me for what you've got now." Amen. When you start being thankful for what I've sent you and those I've sent you now, then I'll send you more. Because I have for you all that you need. All that you need. God is sufficient. He's able to give us everything to do and equip us for the work in which he's called us to do. For 60 years, up to age 60, I worked with the school system in a county. I got a degree from, used to be the old Augusta College. Went to Augusta College, got a four-year degree in accounting, and I've been a comptroller in school system down here at Boyle Brick, the lower end of Richmond County. I worked there for 7 years to start with, and then I've been in school system since then in Lincoln County and also in McDuffie County. And I retired from there, and then God told me this. You know, a lot of people, we look at it and we say, I can't wait till I retire. I'm going to kick my heels up and take it easy for a change, you know? But you know what God told me? He said, you're retired, but really you're refired. And I've refired you to do the work of the ministry because that is for what you were created for ministry at such a time as this. This is an important time in which we live. If people were pinning and adding to the Word of God, we'd be in there. Because listen, latter rain is greater than the former rain. And God's right on the verge of pouring out His Spirit like no one has ever witnessed before. God, when He does things, He does them bigger and greater as you go along. And if you think He's doing great things in your life, just wait, because that is but the foundation and the beginning of what He's going to continue to do in your life. He knows your name, and His name is written, as Mark said earlier, on our hearts. And in the Lamb's Book of Life, our name is written right there. We need to know who we are in Christ. Now, who we are in our own flesh and our own strength, it's nothing. Without Him, I can do nothing. But with Him, I can do all things. Through Christ who strengthens me. We're more than conquerors. More than conquerors. And really, when we get the secret of getting out of the way, like Jesus did, He got His humanity, He put it over here. The priority was the spirit man. Because you get to thinking about it, the spirit man lives forever. These bodies can't take heaven. These bodies can't take it. They go back to the grave, and our spirit man goes to heaven, and then one day our bodies will be resurrected and we'll get new bodies. But, you know, it's people up in heaven right there. My dad's up there. Your daughter's up there. So many up there dressed in white. If you don't like the color white, then you're not going to like heaven very much, because it's full of people right now in white robes, waiting for one day to get that glorified body. But see, in the glory of God, our bodies can't take the glory of God. Moses got there, and he said, I want to see your face, God. I want to see you. He said, I'm going to put you behind this cliff of this rock. And as I pass by, you get behind the protection of that cleft of that rock. And still, he had a glowing face. Let me tell you something today. You wonder why I smile so much. You wonder why I'm so happy. I feel the presence of the risen King. I feel the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's within me. And last night I almost exploded in this place, more than I could take. If you see me come dancing up in front of you and around the church, you know, because the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is there within Christians. And He's there to help us. He's there to fill us. He's there to run over. We should be filled to overrunning. Amen. And those people around us, we should pour on them. Never before, probably, has people and the world been so desperate and looking for an answer. Never before. And God is going into a time now where black and white, and I'm not talking about races, black and white are going to be magnified, and it's not going to be any gray anymore. These fence straddlers, God is going to push things, and somebody's going to have to get on one side of the fence or the other side of the fence. You already see God working in the area of the media. We've seen things this past year where it wasn't truth coming forth and lies coming forth was there. See, the devil is a person of deception. And those who don't know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, they are deceived. They do not see things straight. When we receive the truth, the Bible says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." That's what the Word of God, it is truth from one cover to the next cover. And it is something that doesn't change. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when people come into saving knowledge of Jesus, they go from deception to truth. God is sufficient. If we get out there, like with Nancy was talking about with pastoring, 8 years ago, I was doing just fine. I was working, and I was associate pastor at a church down the road from me. Doing just fine. And on a Sunday morning, Brother Donald Brady, he's pastor of the church in Michigan, and he's at Faith Community Church now. He's probably about 75 years old. He had been filling in at Jones Chapel. He called me up. He sounded rough. Early on a Sunday morning, he said, "Tom, I can't speak. I'm supposed to speak this morning at Jones Chapel. I can't speak. Would you fill in for me?" Well, little did I know what it was going to turn into. I went and I filled in for him. And then I got another call and they wanted me to come back again and come back again. Now, I'm the type, once God speaks, I move. But until I know that I know that I know that it's the Lord leading me, I stay put until I can get that peace of God, because my dad always said, let the peace of God be your umpire. Satan can't duplicate the peace of God. So if you've got decisions that you're trying to make, wait until the peace of God comes upon you to verify that what you're hearing is correct. They asked me to come and be their pastor. And I told them, I said, "Listen, I have got to pray about this." I said, "Give me 1 month. 1 month." And I was getting to where I ride my bicycle around town. And I say, and as I rode my bicycle around, I said, "Lord, I claim this land for you in Jesus' name, this whole territory here and surrounding county, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, you'll have an open heaven above here, Lord, and that your glory will shine, Lord, because I know in the Lord's Prayer it says, 'Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.'" And that's God's will. And God's will is done in his people and the citizens of the kingdom of God. It's to take place now as we walk. There's too many people today that get saved and then they wait to go to heaven. You know, and they sit down on their backside, and we're saved to serve. We're saved to get our hands dirty. We're saved to be the hands of Jesus Christ, the feet of Jesus Christ, the mouth of Jesus Christ, because Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, sitting showing that it is complete, it is finished. I'm in a place of authority, and I am your link between you and God. You know, we've got the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. So here we go. We start praying. The Holy Spirit, if you pray, it says in the Jude about praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues. Now, the tongues skip a part of our body. This tongue skip this part right here where we go before and we ask God, "God, I want this and I want that, Lord. And if I'm going to do your ministry right, I need to do the other." The tongues skip this and they go here. And they reveal the actual will of God. Now, which prayers are God going to answer? The ones that originate with him and come down and through our mouth? Or the ones that's got thought about right here and figured out? Too many times we lean on our own plans, and that gets God out of there. Because the thing about it is, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. I'm so careful in my services to prepare the atmosphere for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because I know if the Holy Spirit isn't there, people's lives are not going to be changed. People are not going to be convicted. In fact, I tell you what we can do. I can decide to go down the street and witness to one of your neighbors. Or I can ask the Spirit, where are you preparing so that where I go, it will already be prepared for me. And without knowledge from the Holy Spirit, we are wasting our time. I might as well just say that. And I believe it's going to get more and more and more like that, that we need our instructions, we need them clearly, and we need them from the Holy Spirit. I believe for our safety even, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to tell us, stay away from over here. Do not get on that plane. You know, I believe it. I believe it. My dad called one night. We were heading to Florida. And he said, I'm troubled in my spirit that there's some way that you're going to go, a route that you're going to go. And I've been praying, he said, because the Lord has put a kickback in my spirit about that. You know, and I learned to listen to my dad a long time ago. We went to a game in Warren County, Lincoln County. I was 18 years old, and I heard my dad all those years talk about the Lord and talk about the Holy Spirit. He was the only tongue-talking person in Lincoln Baptist Church in Lincoln. So people would make fun of him. Had one pastor say, yeah, he's got his tie tied on around his neck too much and making sounds like that. You know, I've heard it all. It's ridicule when people, and I'm not talking about a denomination, you know, but most of your main, I won't name any. All right, I'm going to go forward. But the thing about it is, you're either walking in the power, and you're getting a lot of help, and you're getting direction, or you're not. And when you're not, and if you're not letting the Holy Spirit lead and guide and direct, you're taking on stuff, you're taking the historical Jesus, and you're speaking about the historical Jesus. And people come into your church, and they hear a history lesson, and they don't hear what God's doing today, this hour. I believe God has for every church, Evelyn, a now word for right now, right now. And I don't want to miss it. I believe what I'm speaking to you right now. I believe I didn't have notes along these lines. If you ask my members, I don't take notes along. Because I want something fresh. God really worked me over one time. Had a funeral. For 2 days, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I was writing down. Got time for the funeral. And God said, Chunk, those are just for you. Here's what I want you to say. And he gave me the opening statement. And once he gave me the opening statement, I was obedient to the opening statement. And he took it from there. And then I listened around town. I went to the drugstore there about 2 weeks later. Did you preach that funeral? Yeah. Oh, I heard the power of the presence of the Lord. It was outside funeral. It was all over the place. He was. I had hair standing all over my arms. You know, if the Holy Spirit isn't there, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. Because we are as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, and there is no power that follows it up. No dunamis power, no exousia power or authority. See, we've been given all authority, not in our name, but in his name. I don't think we realize just how powerful his name is. And you know what? He's always, and I'm going to sweat because I always sweat when I preach. I sweat on a winter day. Here it is, middle of January. It is a little warmer out there now. But the thing about it is this. God has really been speaking to me lately, and I'm going to go a little more in this. I'm talking about this. I'm talking about the subject right here. Because it's all about God. It's not about us. It's all about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. God, I got to thinking, Lord, what if I do battle in my mind and don't speak it verbally? And the Lord has really been working on me lately. And he said, out of your verbal utterances is the power of life and death. He said, you shout it from the rooftops. You make proclamations that are in line with my word. And he said, you just see what happens. He said, I'm waiting to do a lot of things because my people don't use the authority that they have in my name. God's just sitting right back there waiting for us. You know, too many times we think, well, you know, God's going to really do this, that, and the other. If you don't speak it by faith, in line with the word, he's just not going to arbitrarily do something. We have the power, life and death. It's in the tongue. You know, God had to work on me on something else. On some days, like, well, if we weren't coming here today, a rainy day. And our natural reaction is to be negative about it. And our natural reaction is to dread rainy days over summer sunny days. Okay, that's a natural reaction. God told me, he said, I want you to speak into your day at the beginning of the day. That no matter what the weather is, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, that it's a blessing from the Lord. You know, our next breath is a blessing from the Lord. You know, we have no guarantees. We don't have any guarantees. We're going to leave this room right now. No guarantees. None whatsoever. I mean, you're talking about a tornado over in Warner Robins taking off the whole roof just a while ago at Walmart in Warner Robins. You know, that storm system. We never know what to expect, you know. But we need to go about things with a smile on our faces and with the right attitude. Benny Hinn used to say, he said he had spent time with the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit was all on him. And he'd go over somebody's house or something and they'd say, oh, wow. Wow, I feel the presence of the Lord. You know, we need to take the presence of the Lord with us everywhere we go. We need to spend time with the Lord so that we, like Moses, can have those glowing faces. Because I guarantee you, the world knows when we've spent time with the Lord. And the world knows when we hadn't spent time with the Lord. The world knows when we're operating under our own power. And the world knows when we're working under the power of the Holy Spirit. The world knows. Other Christians know. God, I've been encouraging my church to not be an observer on the sidelines of what God is doing. God's fixing to do things so quick. And he's saying, you can get in there right in the middle of it and be a part of what I'm doing because you're not going to be satisfied just watching what I'm doing through other people. You see what I'm saying? God desires for us to be in the middle of the action. Because let me tell you what happens. You get over here and you're observing, and then God's doing miracles in your church, and you over here observing, and then the enemy's got you right where he wants you. He comes over and says, that person ain't no better than you are. That one's not no better than that one over yonder. It's no better than you. And jealousy, spirit of jealousy, automatically starts working. You know, if we're walking after the spirit rather than than walking after the flesh, we won't allow jealousy to invade our lives. We'll want these other pastors, these other churches, these other Christians. We want them to do exploits in Jesus' name because they're part of our family. Too many times we get to have family ties here on this earth, but those aren't eternal. I wish they were. I wish all my family was saved. But the thing about it, what's going to last through eternity is our family that has received Jesus, the family that are heirs of God, the family that are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, that's the real family. That's the real family. And we need to pull for the other members of our family. We need to be ready there to lift up those that are being attacked. We need to be ready there to minister to those that needs a helping hand rather than having jealousy. Jealousy is of the devil. And, you know, it's real easy if you will observe when you meet somebody, if you will observe, and it doesn't take long to know if they are of the flesh or of the spirit. Those that's of the spirit, they'll be talking about the Lord. They'll be getting excited about what God's been doing. Guess what God did this week? Those that are of the flesh, they're going to find everything else that's satisfied. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to talk about the football game tomorrow, the Falcons. Now, I'm not saying anything's wrong with that. But the thing about it, we need to get more excited about the things of the Lord and the things of the Spirit than we do the things of the flesh. Things of the flesh are temporal, for a season. Here today, gone tomorrow. But things of the Spirit are eternal. Eternal. We need to get our mindsets. We need, the Bible says, choose you this day who you're going to serve. So if we go out and choose and we're going to serve the Lord, and we go out with the right attitude, and if we go out expecting, let me tell you, if we're not expecting, we won't receive. Do you agree? That's a tough statement. That's not one you want to just shout over and all like that. But that's the truth. If you're not expecting, if I'm not expecting, I can go up there in the pulpit on a Sunday and say, I just want to get this over with, and I get home and eat a quick bite and prop my feet up and watch the Falcons the rest of the day. Or I can get all excited about that church service and say, God, this is your church service. And Lord, I pray that everything that's done is done according to your will. And Lord, I pray that we will follow the, you know, the word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know why it says a lamp unto my feet shows you the next step? Because if we could see all those steps down that trail, it'd blow us away. But God's got to prepare us. He's got a way for us to walk in the way of life. And trials and tribulations that are coming up, he gets them us ready for them back here. And, you know, and it's part of our testimony. God did this for me. When here you are facing a trial and tribulation, and you get there and you say, well, this isn't nothing. Just last year, God did this. 2 years ago, God did that. 5 years ago, God did the other. I tell you what bothers me a lot. Get some people up, do some testimonies. Well, back in 1942, Jesus Christ came into my life. Well, look, tell me what he did for you yesterday. Tell me what you're doing for him today. Tell me what kind of difference you're making in this world. Because you were put here not by accident. Nobody's an accident. You were put here with a purpose and a plan. So what are you doing now? Not what you did back then. Christianity is an everyday walk, day in and day out. Think if everybody took the attitude, when I get saved, I'm going to keep back and ride it out till I get to heaven. Think about how many people get saved. Think about how many people that are oppressed. Think of how many people that need deliverance. Think of how many people that need healing. Think of how many people that's not going to get touched. Praise God for people like you who want to make a difference, who know that God is watching every step that you take. I had somebody tell me last week, one of my elders has a problem with spending any money on anything. And I found out in a business meeting last week. He said the former church that I was in, they had a print, they needed a printing press, and I went and paid $35,000 for a printing press. And they used that printing press, and they called me up one day, and they said, it was raining that day. And he said, it's rain. They said, we've taken that printing press. We're doing something else with that building that printing press was in. We've moved it out. It's in the rain. You need to come get it. And that hardened his heart to where anything we want to do for the gospel outside the church, now I got it where money's going on the foreign field, but anything in the community, he's right there, and he's got somebody else the same way too that's got a poverty mentality, the other person has, you know, because he didn't want to get, the other person don't want to trust God, doesn't want to step out. My dad, all his life, fine Christian, But he drove all the way from Lincoln, Georgia to Augusta, Georgia, making a minimum wage job. And God had other things closer to the home. We took on a paper route. We've always been open. I mean, I asked God for it, try to before I do anything. And I saw somebody delivering papers. And I said, God, it would be great if we had that. Then my wife could be home with our newborn, you know, because she could do the paper out in the morning, and then get back, I'll be there, and I'll be ready to go to work, and she could be there with our newborn all day long. You know, that was my dad's wishes, and that would take care of his wishes. I said, so God first put a desire. If we'll delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart. But you know where those desires of our heart come originate? With him. And those desires originate, and as we're delighting ourselves, God makes sure those desires come to pass. You really don't want desires that haven't started from on high. You know, because those desires are selfish. Those desires give you something better than a better car than your neighbor's got. I see these car advertisements all the time. And somebody said, well, I did this improvement over here. I painted my garage. And they asked the other person there, what did you do? And here's somebody driving it. Oh, I just got that new car. You know, car advertisement. You know, it's a lot of things that enter into that thing. And what it is greed and lust and several other things right there that these advertisers use. They put lost leader things where you check out at the cashiers, and they say, oh, she's going to like that candy bar. She's going to buy it right there. Impulse items. You know, she or he. I was picking on my wife then because she's laughing at me there. But the thing about it is, God's desires that he puts into us are godly. And as we spend time with him, we will hear, it will come back, and we will hear those desires. And I had a desire for that paper route if that was God's, one of God's ways of supplying our needs. Because it says, the word says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, his riches and glory, I don't think anybody's got his balance sheet. I don't think anybody's got any idea exactly what God owns. But I've heard he owns cattle on Thousand Hills, at least. Yeah, and owns the hills, owns all the stars. We do not know the planets, the stars, and all the heavenly bodies in the second heaven. First heaven goes up in the atmosphere. Second heaven is your stars and planets. Third heaven is where God is. But we don't have any idea. We don't have telescopes that can look and see the end of the second heaven. We don't have it. We don't have the power to even see that. That's enough to show us just how big God is. And you know, I wouldn't have a problem if it was duplicate planets that Jesus had gone to and died for the people on those planets. I wouldn't have a problem because I know God's over all. That wouldn't bother me a bit. Because God is God. And nothing limits God except for God himself. He's got provisional promises throughout his word. He's got 3,000 promises, I think. Somebody sat down and counted those things, Mark. And he's got provisional promises that limit him. That's the only limits on God. If you do this, I'll do this. You know? He puts limits on himself. But the only limits that are on God are God put. Let me see what this thing says here. I'm catching my breath if you want to know what I'm doing. And I'm going to take just a little swallow of this. My throat will get dry if I don't have a few little cough drops around and some water. Any questions so far? Because that's just the introduction. Now, I think I'm probably taking a lot of my time on the introduction. So we're supposed to be talking about our sufficiency is from God. Another component of this is the old covenant versus the new covenant. Covenant. The old covenant, in fact, the scripture says on that, and you can turn there if you want to, you don't have to, because we're going to go quickly. It's in 2 Corinthians 3, 4 through 6, and this is in the New King James Version. Now, most of the time, I go King James. And you say, well, why do you go King James? You're old-fashioned. No, I memorized in King James. And I don't have a reset button on my brain that will convert it to other versions. I know on the computer you got all different kind of versions down there, and I have nothing against it. I hadn't studied the other versions, but I haven't memorized the other versions either. So when I quote King James, because for 62 years that I've been around, I've learned King James. You know, so, you know, if I quote, but this is New King James Version, I like it too. And we have such trust. Trust means in the Greek, confidence through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient. Sufficient means adequate or competent. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter, and the letter is in reference to the old covenant, which the Ten Commandments was written on stone and Moses came down with. For the letter, listen, the letter kills. How many in here, I'm not through that verse yet, how many in here really get excited about the Ten Commandments? How many in here really have a problem with the Ten Commandments being carried forth in our lives? Do you keep them completely? You know, all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. And it is the letter of the law. And we cannot keep the law. And if we break one commandment, guess what? We broke them all. That don't give us much of a chance, does it? And the letter of the law, the letter of the law kills. But the new covenant in Jesus Christ, when God, it says, for he hath made him, God has made Jesus, sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. All of a sudden we're righteous because of Jesus. If we know Jesus, if we receive Jesus, if the Lord lives in us, the Holy Spirit lives in us, it doesn't give you a license to sin, but you know that your sins are covered. If your relationship with the Lord is as it should be, he is going to let you know when you step out of line. He's very specific about that. Doesn't mean you put that clothes. You we're clothed with the righteousness of God, and God sees us as righteous. Righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, some use that for occasion for sin. I got one in my church, and I've told him differently and all like that. 86-year-old man. And he said, I can do anything I want to do. And really, he can. That's true. Now, let me. I know where you're coming from there. You can do anything you want to do. If you're led by the Spirit and convicted by the Spirit, you're not going to want to do those things anymore. See, the old is gone. The old is passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Our minds are new. Our mindsets are new. Now, the body's not going to be new. But that's okay. The flesh isn't going to go to heaven in its present state. You know? Yeah, that's right. But the thing about it, there's some, he says, I can do anything I want to do. And his wife done got me to the side there one time when I was ministering to her, and she said, every woman that comes to the house, he desires her. That's not somebody that's following Christ. You know, Jesus already done died for those sins, already taken care of. I don't need to confess things. You know, the Bible says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Now, I've done changed my prayer. I pray a lot about my sins and shortcomings. But I've changed my prayer. I used to say, well, Lord, I haven't loved you with all my heart, because commandment number one, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all the heart, mind, soul, and strength. Second is likened to it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And you get thinking about it, he said, all the commandments are within those two. You do those two right, everything else is going to fall into place. You know, I get there and I say, God, I haven't put you first in my life. There's been things I put ahead of you. And Lord, I'm sorry for that. And I used to say, and I do repent if we confess. I confess it. But then I say, I pray that you will forgive me. I said, I've changed that. I confess that. And I thank you that your son's blood has taken care of that. See, I've changed the way I pray it now. You know? And I think it's more in line with what God meant for that scripture. And I said, and Lord, I haven't shared you like I should. I mean, we should be moved when Nancy says, how many people have you led to the Lord in the last year? You know, really, think about it. We need to start thinking when we have not. Okay? I tell you something, though. I'm preparing for harvest. Harvest is coming. And those that come in late in the deal and help with it, going to get all the credit from start to finish. I believe that. That's what Nancy sees it that way. My spirit agrees with her spirit. I believe God's given us an opportunity, and we're already a year into it, right? Because it was a Jewish year, or was it our calendar? I think it was. I'm not sure, but we're a year or a little bit over a year into that for 7 years. You know, and God is looking. Joseph prepared Egypt for what was coming. He put aside for it. We need to prepare as Christians for what is coming. When he's spoken his word, and it's somebody like Nancy that we trust, we need to start making provisions. I'm trying to get my people ready. I'm trying to get them to the point where we're ready to receive masses of people into our church as they get saved. Disciple them. Be ready to send it out, but I've got to have people in place. And I believe I do. I believe I've got to keep people in place. If the others in the church will only listen. They've got to listen. We can't force feed anything on them. Evelyn, you got people in your church that you wish you could just do like that and the light would come on. You know, and they call themselves Christians, but they live afar off. And if you live afar off, if you are married and 2 or 3 days a week you say hey to your wife or your husband passing by, don't ever spend any time with her. It took me a long time to learn what she wanted in her coffee. If you don't know what your mate likes in their coffee, if they drink coffee, you need to start changing some things. You need to be more observant. Now, we've been married 42 years this year. And here's what happened. About 30 years into the marriage, somebody asked me, I'm fessing up, what's Debbie like in her coffee? Oh, my Lord, I've never watched her put what she put in it. And I started being observant then, because I was so much into my job. She got coffee in bed this morning. Amen. She got coffee before I got coffee this morning, Mark. Amen. You know? Because you know what? I found out God created her just for me. Amen. God created me just for her. Okay? And the family comes before the church. You got to have strong families to have strong churches. And so the way the devil attacks the church is attacking the families within the church, because he knows strong families make strong churches, and strong churches make inroads into his kingdom, because we have the legal authority to go and take back from him what he has stolen from us. God told my wife about a month ago, God said, make a list of the things that Satan has stolen from you, from your childhood till now. And you start expecting those things back in Jesus' name, because this is the year of restoration. Yeah. This is a year that I'm going to place you in the place where I have meant for you to be all along. I'm going to put you in places of authority. I'm going to put you where you can speak the word in Jesus' name and see all sorts of miracles happen. I'm going to put you in a place where you declare the gospel and people are going to be coming running down that altar to receive Christ. It's going to happen. It's happening now in places, and it's going to happen even more. Even more, I expect it. I know Oral Roberts used to have a saying, expect a miracle every day. Expect a miracle when you pray. If you will something, it will find a way. You will find a way. If you expect it, you will find a way to receive a miracle from God each day. Amen. We got to expect. Because God is more than able. He's our sufficiency. If we had to rely on our own strength, on our own ability, if we had to figure things out on our own, oh, we'd all be failures. But if we're zero, if we get out of the way, if we do as Paul said, I'm a walking dead man. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth through me. Christ in me, my hope of glory. We get it down right there, just what you said this morning. We get it down and we get out of the way, and we know that we can't do anything without Him. I've gotten so dependent on the Lord. I ask Him stuff and I don't do them until He tells me. He, even the Holy Spirit, when I'm on my way to a task, He even speaks up and says, "You forgot this." You know that is precious when the Lord loves you so much. He'll tell you you forgot something, or He'll tell me. He told me one time coming out, I went over to a state park nearby, and He told me. He said, "Where is your phone?" You know, we like to keep our cell phones with us, but I had left my cell phone somewhere. And He said, "Where is your phone, Tom?" And I looked and I looked and I couldn't find it. And He helped me end up finding it. But I wouldn't even know it was missing until I done got to my task. You know, He's reminding me of events. You know, it's amazing. And I've become so dependent. I lost my dad 15 years ago. Great spiritual man. I leaned on him greatly. A lot of things in the natural wasn't that great when my dad, but when the anointing of the Lord moved on him, I tell you what, it showed you Jesus through him. And he had a lot of gifts. He could get there, and he said, "It's like a motion picture screen in front of me. And when the Lord shows me somebody, He'll show me their face, and He'll show me their need." And he said, "I'll go to that person, and I'll say, 'Are you having problems with such and such?' 'Oh, yeah, how'd you know that?' You know, well, can I pray for you?" See, it makes it easy when the Spirit leads the way. And then when the Spirit reveals to you what's going on and what's wrong. He did that way with the sheriff of Lincoln County. The Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, "Go speak to the sheriff. I prepared his heart. You go lead him to the Lord." He came over after my wife and I got married. He came over to my mother-in-law's residence. And he called me up and he said, "I'm coming over there. On my way home from work today," he worked in Augusta, "on my way home today, the Spirit spoke to me and said, it's time for her to get saved." He came in there, and your mom, she was rough. She was rough. And I tell you what, he came in that house, he shared Jesus Christ, she received Jesus, and I saw a new creature in Christ from that time forward. Her grandmother, it wasn't a week or two, he said, "I'm going to see your mother-in-law's mother, and I'm going to lead her to the Lord." The Holy Spirit's told me to come over and lead her. Came over there, led her to the Lord, you know. I tell you, when the Spirit leads and we listen and we are obedient, things happen. You don't have to guess. You don't have to go out there and hand out tracts hoping that you're getting a certain percentage of the people that you give a tract to, that you'll lead them to the Lord. This is a precision thing with the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. And that same truth sets these people free. Amen. We've got so much help from a sufficient God. We get our sufficiency from Him. Another thing that really gets me, we've been in our house that we're in now since 83. We were talking about this morning, coming down here. I found a house, and it's a fixer-upper. And I said, God, if Gideon can set out a fleece, I can set out a fleece. So I set a fleece out for the Lord. And I said, Lord, would you lay on my dad's heart when I ask him one certain question, would you give him a figure? And I said, that's my fleece right there. So I was talking to my dad. And I said, you know that house they got for sale up there in town? He said, yeah, that one, yeah. Uh-huh. What do you think the house is worth? And Dad, he normally didn't have an opinion on values, but he said, it's worth about $17,000. I said, all right, I got my answer. I called the man up who owned that house. He was an influential man. He's still alive today. He was on the commissioners, county commissioners, and a millionaire. And it was a successful business. And I got on there, and he said, Mr. Tavish, I won't give you his last name. I said, Mr. Tavish, I'm interested in buying your house. And he said, what will you take for it? He said, I'll take $19,000. All right, here I am. I don't want to offend him. God gave Dad $17,000, and Mr. Talmadge wants $19,000. He won't get offended if I say $18,000. I said, I'll give you $18,000. All right, okay, it's yours. Hung up the phone. Here comes Dad next day driving down the driveway. He said, I was in the house, and the Lord spoke to me and said, you had done something desperately wrong that you have to undo. He said, what was it? Because, see, the Lord didn't reveal what it was. And I told him, I said, I set the fleece out, you gave the price, and I went and I took, added $1,000 to it to keep from offending him. He said, you know what you got to do, don't you? I said, yes, sir. I got in on the phone. Mr. Tamich, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to take that offer back that I made on that house. I will be unable to buy it. Amen. Well, 6 months down the road, Mark, no house. We were renting, paying $100 a month for rent. One bad. But the house had done rent her wedding dress and all because it wasn't properly sealed under concrete floors. Okay. God put that desire in a... Huh? Yeah, mice were coming through all the time and all like that. But the Lord... I heard about another house, and this other house is one that she really liked. Really liked. I really liked that house. It wasn't a fixer-upper. Okay? And I said, Lord, can I have another chance at this thing? He told me, don't give a penny over $65,000 for it. That's in 1983. I got there, looked at the house. I said, how much you want for it? We want $69,500. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you $65,000. Well, I'll have to get back with you. And my mom and dad live two houses up. We go to my mom and dad's house, and I would watch people come in there and look at that house. It was like a circus. People going in there looking, looking, looking. I think they had 20 or 25 families come and look at it. And after 2 months, he calls me back and he says, I'll let you have it for your $65,000. But that whole time in the interim, I was walking the streets. I said, there's no way I am going to add to what God gave me. I've done learned my lesson, and I'm not going to get God mad with me because I want to stay. I don't want to be in his permissive will. I want to be in his perfect will. I want to be right in the center of the will of God. I talked to some of those couples. I'd see them on the street. You know, we started to buy that house that you got, but the timing just wasn't right. We'd have to sell our house first, or this, that, and the other. We probably saw 12 couples that came to us. I'm so glad you got it, though, because that's a nice house. And I said, thank you, Lord. Because, you know, I didn't know if I was going to get weak-kneed and give in. Because, you know, the flesh is weak. It's easy to compromise. God wants a people that are not going to compromise. You know, Jesus didn't compromise. Look, Satan wanted Jesus to compromise 3 times. Jesus was in his weakened condition in the flesh. And Satan said, I'll give you this. I'll give you that. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. And Jesus said, it is written. You start using it is written. You're taking a word that is the same. A word that is unshakable, a word that's just as strong today and just as strong at the end of eternity. Well, there's no end to eternity, forever and ever and ever. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. Mark brought that out this morning. The Lord wants us to use the word of God. The Lord wants our flesh to die. You know, I used to do this. I would sing at funerals, and God put a powerful anointing on my songs. And I got there, and I got to the point where I said, wow, when I get up here and sing, it really touches people. You know? And I started taking credit for myself. And guess what happened the next funeral? I get up there, no anointing. It's like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Just words, just notes, because the Holy Spirit wasn't there, anointing. You know, the Word of God says, in one version it says anointing breaks the yoke that binds, but it actually is, virtual meaning is, the anointing destroys the yoke that binds. Satan's always trying to put a yoke on us. If he can put a yoke on us in some area of our lives, he'll do it, but the anointing of the Lord destroys that yoke. God's got everything that we need. His sufficiency is our sufficiency when we do things in his name. A lot of times we're in a recession here on earth and we got lack. There's no lack in the kingdom of God. God's got plenty of resources. Plenty of resource. You know, I thought one time Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want him. As a child, I'd look at that and I'd say, why wouldn't I want him? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why wouldn't I want the Lord? But I've learned later, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not have slack. I will not have need. I will not have need of anything. Amen. You don't go wanting with the Lord. Amen. With the house example, I looked at a fixer-upper, but God has something better. Amen. Let me tell you, we look for stuff, and God has always got something better for us. That's what you think you deserve, but I, in my goodness and in my power, are going to give you something better. Amen. Same way with us. Christian life only gets better and better and better. God, he's holding the best for last. He's holding the best. And we were created to walk in that in such a time as this. I encourage you, lean on God's sufficiency. Let him, instead of yourself, get out of the way and let God. And don't be a hindrance, because he has conquered death, hell, in the grave. Jesus had. Jesus has all authority on heaven, in heaven and in earth. They don't leave Satan any authority. The Bible implies that Satan goes about like a roaring lion. We're the ones who give him legal authority to do things when we allow him to do things. We give him legal authority. He has no legal authority. None whatsoever. None whatsoever. So, we serve a great God. I don't have a watch up here. I'd ask Nancy if she'd come by and kind of let me know if it's getting close. What have I got, about 15 more minutes? I don't know how my time is. I don't have myself. Another 30 minutes?